struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you again today about giving thanks for everything. Is it possible? Is it even sensible to thank God for everything? Will we not be accused of being in denial? Well, yes, of course we will. But Christians are realists. We look at the sorrows, sins, disasters, earthquakes, famines, and floods. We look at them and we sorrow for those who suffer because of them. And we experience our own share of suffering too. But we have a different perspective, a transcendent one, supernatural and invisible. And I want to give you the verses that pointed me to that transcendent, supernatural, invisible perspective at a time when I desperately needed that transfiguring vision. And that was back when I was 29 years old. I was a missionary in Ecuador in the eastern jungle. And I had a lovely house that my husband Jim Elliott had just barely finished. In fact, he was still working on some things on the inside. And I had a sweet baby, 10 months old, and work that I loved. Everything was going wonderfully well. But my husband went with a group of other missionaries to attempt to take the gospel to a different tribe, and I got a shortwave message on the radio one morning to tell me that my husband was missing, that all of the men were missing. And 5 days later, we found out that they had all been speared to death. This was in January of 1956. We got letters from people, hundreds of people, all over the world, bags of mail, because this was a startling and shocking piece of news to Christians around the world. Many Christians sent me scripture verses, and many sent me poems and cards and lovely letters, and I was very grateful for them. But you know the verses that changed my whole perspective on what had happened? 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. Let me read 16, 17, and 18. "We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is not seen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal." Now those words, light and momentary troubles, are coming from a man who had suffered very deeply. The Apostle Paul had been in prison, he had been shipwrecked, he had been starved, he had been flogged, and he's talking about light, momentary troubles. Losing a husband certainly didn't seem to me like a light and momentary trouble. Here I was, alone on a jungle station and probably going to be single for the rest of my life. I certainly thought so. And he and I had only been married 27 months. And yet, I realized that I had to start putting my eyes on the invisible things and realize that if I picture the old-fashioned kind of scales, which has a sort of a bar on which are suspended two pans, one on each end, if you put all the troubles that you've ever known in this world, and they can seem very heavy at times, on one side of the scales, then you put that weight of glory that that passage in 2 Corinthians 4 refers to, you would find that your own troubles rose as if it was a pan full of feathers. So I began to realize then that God was allowing some things to happen which totally changed my life, which turned everything upside down. And yet, it was all part of the pattern on which he was working. And it was while I looked not at the things which are seen that I found comfort. Now, the things which were seen, for example, were all Jim's tools there that he had been using to build the furniture in our house. The empty chair at the table. The shoes in the closet, with the exact form of his feet so familiar. A piece of his handwriting suddenly that I would find after I thought I had gotten rid of all of his clothes and possessions. I would find a book that had a note in the margin. And while I looked at those things which were seen, my heart sank. Then when I would look off and away and up to the things which are not seen and realize that there's mystery there that I can never understand until I reach heaven, it lifted my heart. It buoyed me up. It gave me a transformed vision, a totally new perspective. Now, suppose everything does go well for us here in this life. Are we happy then? Well, I read you Eugene O'Neill's testimony yesterday, didn't I? Eugene O'Neill, that great playwright, said he was fed to the teeth with the theater. The game isn't worth the candle. If I got any real spiritual satisfaction out of success in the theater, it might compensate, but I don't. Success is as flat, spiritually speaking, as failure. The psalmist in Psalm 40, verse 5, says, "Thy wonderful purposes are all for our good." Thy wonderful purposes are all for our good. Psalm 57, verses 1 and 2. "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me." Do you need a refuge? I have needed a refuge many times, and I certainly needed one when my husband died. Many of you are right now in what we would call stressful situations. The psalmist was certainly in a tight place when he wrote that, "Have mercy on me, O God." And yet he was still perfectly confident that God is in control, fulfilling his purpose, and that his meaning is always love. His meaning is always love. Ephesians 1:11 speaks of his design and his purpose everywhere at work. Maybe you get a little tired of me always giving all these scripture references, but I know that there are some people who actually sit and listen to my program with a pencil and paper, so you might want to write them down. And the rest of you may think, well, she's just making up this stuff, you know. I don't know where she gets all this stuff. Well, I tell you where I get it. I'm not making it up. And the scripture tells us over and over and over again in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the Psalms, the Gospels, and the Epistles, that God is working out his design, that his purpose is everywhere at work, in our government, in the government of Eastern Europe, in the governments of the countries of Africa, in the places where things seem most chaotic and out of control, yet nothing escapes that design that God is working on. And so we can say thanks for everything. "For all things serve thee." Psalm 119:91 says, "This day as ever, thy decrees stand fast. For all things serve thee." Do you believe that? It takes faith, doesn't it? It doesn't come naturally. Here's a quotation from Marcus Antoninus, also known as Marcus Aurelius, whose dates are 121 to 180 AD. "Be like the promontory against which the waves continually break, but it stands firm and tames the fury of the water around it. Unhappy am I because this has happened to me? Not so, but happy am I though this has happened to me, because I continue free from pain, neither crushed by the present nor fearing the future. Will then this which has happened prevent thee from being just, magnanimous, temperate, prudent, secure against inconsiderate opinions and falsehood? Remember, too, on every occasion which leads thee to vexation, to apply this principle, that this is not a misfortune, but that to bear it nobly is good fortune." Now, Marcus Aurelius was a wise man. He was not a Christian, as far as I know, but he was courageous and he was reasonable. And let's remember that all wisdom belongs to God. Some of you get offended when I quote non-Christians. You know, we don't have a corner on all the wisdom of the world. Paul was able to thank God for his chains. He said, "It is actually my happiness to suffer for you." The writer of Proverbs says, "Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be quiet from fear of evil." That's cause for thanksgiving, isn't it? That you can be quiet from the fear of evil. And then in the 25th chapter of Isaiah, the prophet is speaking of all sorts of dreadful things that have happened, and yet the wonderful refuge and shelter that he has found in the Lord. He said, "I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, a shade from the heat. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from off all faces. He will swallow up death forever. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation."
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.